Welcome back, everybody, to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host and amicable divorce expert. Why? Because that's all I do, amicable divorces. Today's podcast, tips for getting through the emotional divorce. Now, you've listened to other episodes that I've done. You've heard me talk about and reference emotional divorce versus the legal divorce. The emotional divorce is what we have to go through emotionally so that we can detach from the other spouse, we can detach from the idea of being married, and we can detach from the responsibilities of making sure the other spouse is emotionally taken care of. Now, I don't mean to sound cold when I say that, but when you're married, each spouse kind of looks after each other emotionally. But when we're getting unmarried, there is a detachment. It doesn't mean that you don't consider the other spouse when they're an ex-spouse. It doesn't mean you don't care for what they're going through as you're going through the divorce. But we each have our own feelings. We each have to deal with our own emotions during the divorce so that we can be respectful and calm and make appropriate decisions when we get to the legal divorce. And there is a point when the responsibility of looking after the other spouse's emotions ends. And that's the end of the emotional divorce. Now, the legal divorce is completing the filing and a lot of paperwork, serving each other requisite things, and making settlement terms that go into an agreement that becomes the divorce decree. The best way to get through a respectful and calm legal divorce is by going through the emotional divorce first. How is this done? By first turning inward and addressing all of your fears and concerns about being unmarried, really looking at why the marriage is ending, accepting whatever part you had in the breakdown of the relationship, getting to the point of not blaming the other person, so important, for whatever part they played in ending the relationship, and accepting that we're all imperfect people who hurt each other as a consequence of our own imperfections. Lastly, you have to accept that you're going to be unmarried and that you're not going to die because of that. So yes, it's painful, but you will live to tell about it, and hopefully you'll come out the other side a healthier, happier human being. It's the only way to work through an emotional divorce. So when I, as a mediator or a legal document preparation company, see that one or both spouses are taking a long time to return paperwork, it's a good assumption that one or both are still going through the emotional divorce and the paperwork is symbolic of the end of the marriage. The end of the marriage is not yet possible to accept. Therefore, we avoid taking the next steps in the paperwork. So at this point, I want to read excerpts to you from an article that I saw on the Divorce Magazine. It's an article by L.J. Burke, and the title of the article is Divorced Dads, Kids Are Forever, Wives Are Not. So although that may be kind of a funny title, LJ did put in this article were the seven stages of grief during and after the divorce, and maybe all before the divorce, who knows? Although we do return to grief once the divorce is done, not as strong as before we file for divorce, but you will catch your breath a minute once the divorce is done. Now, interestingly, there are the five stages of grief that a therapist, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, identified. But in divorce, we have two more to make seven. And I want to read you what they are. The very first stage is denial. You can't believe it's happening. You can't believe, even though you know the marriage wasn't good, it needed some house cleaning, it needed to be seriously dealt with, You just can't believe your spouse is asking you for a divorce. So you really have to go in denial. It's the only way to process so that you can move forward. So, yes, I can't believe you're doing this. Why can't we work this out? I knew we had trouble. Really? Are you serious? You really do want this? What do you think this is going to do to the kids? All of that goes into denial. Number two, and this is where this is different for the divorce, different than the five stages of grief that Ms. Ross proposed. The second one is pain and fear. It is so unbelievably painful emotionally to be asked for a divorce and even to ask for the divorce. It is so painful. Even though you think it's the right thing to do, if you're the one initiating, it doesn't feel good. And then there's the fear of the unknown, the fear of the divorce process if you've never gone through it, the fear of what your soon-to-be ex-spouse may do during the filing, and the fear of the unknown for post-divorce. What's it going to be like living like a single person? You know, my sister, when she was going through divorce, she had three children, ages 3, 5, and 7. She got married when she was younger, like right out of college. And she, unlike me, really wanted to raise a family as a young parent. I, on the other hand, did not want to get married until I was 33, and I knew I never wanted to have children. So I wanted to live as a single person. I wanted to travel and work and enjoy life because I knew I was going to change. I knew the person I was going to be in my 30s was hopefully not the person in my 20s, which knew very little about life. So when my sister was going through her divorce, she knew it was the right thing to do. Yes, it was emotionally painful. Yes, there was a lot of fear of the unknown, but her biggest fear was being single. Her biggest fear was not being in a relationship. And so she called me and she said, talk to me about this. You're single. I'm not. What's it like? And I said, so wonderful, I can't even tell you. So wonderful to be able to make my own decisions, do what I wanted to do, travel, live, work the way I wanted to work. And I'm not lonely at all. And so with that, she finished with the divorce. And I think that's what got her over it. So if you don't know somebody you can talk to about your biggest fears, talk to a therapist. That is what they're there for. Number three, anger. Okay, so denial followed by pain and fear is definitely followed by anger. So once we address the pain and the fear, then we circle back and we're angry. How could you do this to me? We took our vows in front of God. You told me that you would deal with anything in our marriage, and now you're not. I can't believe that. I can't believe you actually want to get divorced. Generally, this is spoken by the person who was asked for the divorce. Sometimes this is the person asking for the divorce, angry that the situation occurred, the buildup to we've got to get a divorce even took place. I can't believe I married you. I can't believe I didn't see this coming. I can't believe I trusted you. It's all of that. But anger is the third level of grief. Fourth, bargaining. Okay, so you went in denial, then you went through pain and fear, then you got appropriately angry. Now you still have that little bit of denial going on, so you want to bargain. You want to bargain with your spouse. Okay, if we don't get divorced, I will change. I will do anything you want me to do. I know you've been asking me to go to counseling. I know you've been asking me to stop drinking. I know you've been asking me to go to anger management classes. I'll do whatever you want to do. Please don't get divorced. Yes, that's the bargaining stage. And then you can get mad at God. We bargain with God along with bargaining with our spouse. And then we ask, I will do whatever I have to do. Please don't let the divorce happen. Number five, guilt. You believe it's all your fault. Maybe a lot of it is, maybe some of it is. But you really do feel horrible now. If you have children, you are so worried about what's going to happen to the kids. Are you really going to screw them up beyond what you normally are going to do as a parent? And don't we all do that? Yes, the guilt that you've ruined somebody's life, the guilt that you didn't fulfill your own commitment in the marriage, the guilt that you let your family down, your extended family, your spouse, yourself, God. Yes, there's a lot of guilt. And then the guilt goes into depression, number six. And we all get a little depressed. I did. I worked every day. I did my job. And then when I went home, I walked just like Forrest Gump. I chose exercise and I walked and I walked and I walked at the end of the day. But when you find yourself depressed, do reach out, but reach out for the right kind of help. Yes, a therapist, the right therapist will be great. I mean, if you are so disposed to talk to somebody in your religious community, do that. But talk to somebody who's been married and divorced. I mean, talking to a priest, they've never been married. I've never understood that. I grew up in the Catholic religion, but I never understood why people would talk to priests. Yes, they give out the sacrament of marriage, but they don't know what it's like to be married. You know, they may have been children of divorce, but they still don't know what it's like to actually go through the divorce. So I really say, talk to somebody, even if it's somebody in the church, talk to somebody who's been divorced and talk to somebody who wanted to go through a respectful divorce. Don't talk to somebody who had the worst divorce known to mankind, or you too will have the worst divorce known to mankind. No, you want to talk to somebody who can pick you up, dust you off, help you see the path forward so that you can have a respectful, calm divorce. And then lastly, acceptance, because that's where we have to end up anyway, like it or not, and that's the healthiest thing for us. Yes, this is really happening to you. You have to devise coping mechanisms and strategies to deal with all of it. There's no running away from it anymore. It is time to face the music. And just do it. Grab an oar. Get in the canoe and start paddling down the stream of acceptance to your new reality as a single, unmarried person. Maybe not for long. Who knows what's in store for you? But that is where you're eventually going to be. So for me, if I'm a mediator or I'm serving clients as a document preparation company, when both spouses are delaying the next steps in the paperwork, I wait. Anyone working with spouses and they're taking a long time, you know that's a sign that they're going through the emotional divorce and they will eventually come back to the legal divorce when they're emotionally ready. But when one spouse is done with the emotional divorce and the other isn't, the process going forward becomes very tricky. If both spouses have lawyers, the lawyer for the spouse who is ready to move forward and complete the legal divorce has ways to compel the next step from the other attorney. So if you haven't fully gone through the emotional divorce and you're now in the legal divorce, there will be those signs to any professionals working with you that you have to step back, deal with your emotions, and then you'll come back to the table when you're ready. But when one spouse is ready and the other absolutely will not even engage or discuss moving forward, then if you're dealing with lawyers, they will compel the next step and you don't have a choice. But when someone like me, a legal document preparation company, is working with both spouses, it's a very delicate process of speaking to the reluctant spouse in a way that gives them the understanding to address their emotions so that they too can calmly move forward and not be angry at the ready spouse for being ready to finish the legal divorce. For instance, I would ask the reluctant spouse why they're not ready and address those issues, not as a therapist, but from a practical and humanistic basis to see where their reluctance is and address the easiest way forward. So here's a typical example. I start the filing, 2 to 3 years goes by, we get to a certain point in the filing, and then I don't hear from them. They need to take a break. Okay, so that's the emotional divorce taking precedence. I know that when they're ready, they will come back to me. The day comes when one spouse is ready. I get the call or the email, Judy, I'm ready to move forward. What are the next steps? Well, the next step is to get the reluctant spouse on board. So either you, ready spouse, have to call the reluctant spouse, or an email is sent to me copying the other spouse saying, Judy, I think I'm ready. What's the next step? And then I can address both of them. But I will separately go to the reluctant spouse who will inevitably say, what's the rush? We were doing fine the way we were. And they were doing fine until one spouse was done with the emotional divorce and a new dynamic is created for him or her. And that new dynamic, which is acceptance, now paves the way for the legal divorce to continue. Then the reluctant spouse will say something like, he doesn't care about the way I feel. Why is he rushing me? Doesn't he know that I'm having a hard time? How could he push me to finish? And then it's my role as either the mediator or the document preparation company to say, he's doing what's natural for him now. He's wanting to conclude the legal divorce because he's done with the emotional divorce, and he's letting you know that. Now, this is the toughest part of all to say. It's the reality in the filing. As long as he does what he's legally obligated to do, which is pay child support, pay spousal support, be ready to divide the assets correctly, refinance the house, whatever has to be done, that's all he's required to do. He's not required to wait an unspecified amount of time until you're ready. So if you can ask for the time you need, and this is key, and this is how I will engage people. If you can maybe ask a reluctant spouse for a specified amount of time, now that you know he's ready, so that you can get your emotions prepared and do whatever work you have to do to be ready as well, I bet he will wait. And I think that's the key. So ready spouse is ready to go. Reluctant spouse is stuck in one of those 7 stages of grief, hasn't yet come to acceptance, but knows that they have to. Because the reality is the ready spouse can compel, can move forward, and you have to participate as well. And I know it doesn't matter that 2.5, 3 years has gone by, because time means nothing. Time has no definition when you're going through the emotional divorce. So, in the gentlest way possible, I will have to say to the reluctant spouse that he or she has to realize that when one spouse is ready, the other spouse has to do what they have to do to be legally ready too. And maybe the reluctant spouse just needs this nudge. Maybe this is okay. I think everything happens for a reason. And so I will say that philosophically to the reluctant spouse, maybe you need this. You can't be stuck in going nowhere. You can't be stuck in the middle of filing. You need closure so that you can start a new life. And he or she needs closure so that he or she can start a new life. And let's look at this as the best thing possible for you. So ask for a certain amount of time in which you will be ready, and then do what you need to do to be ready. So that's one example. The other example is 2 to 3 years will go by. Seriously, 2 to 3 years goes by, and then the court will send a notice. And that will be the nudge off the diving board. The court will say, hey, I haven't heard from you for a while. What's going on? Can you file anything? So you don't address it. It's just kind of a, can you please move this forward notice? But then the other notice comes after that. That other notice is, you now have a date for a hearing. We want to know why you're not doing any more paperwork. We will listen to you. And then we're going to give you a deadline and you have to address the deadline. And that's the way it'll work. And so when that happens, the petitioner is the one who actually gets the notice. The notices aren't sent out to both spouses, only the spouse who's the petitioner. When that happens, then just inevitably, I will get an email from the spouse who got the notice and they won't copy the other spouse. So the other spouse doesn't know that the court wants both people to move forward because there's been no talking. They've just kind of enjoyed a lull in time, and that in itself feels freeing because that paperwork, as simple as it is overbearing. It's overwhelming, and it's really easy to want to avoid it. So when I get an email from the spouse who got the notice, I say, would you please resend the email copying the other spouse so that they know you're not just jumping the gun, that you're actually probably not ready yourself, but the court's going to make you both ready. And that's how I handle when the court gets involved and sends notices and you really don't have a choice. In conclusion, I encourage all of you to be as understanding as possible with each other. Go through the emotions that you need to experience in order to move your life forward. But know that if you go through the emotional stages of grief, the emotional divorce, with the intent to move yourself to a place of acceptance, you will. And if you're stuck in one stage and can't move to the next, consult a therapist who has experience with divorce for professional help finishing your emotional divorce. And that's the only way to do it. I hope this has been helpful. I sincerely appreciate that you participate and join me in Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I thank you so much for joining me each and every episode. Please, if you have any topics that you want me to address, email me at judy@constructiveuncoupling.com. judy@constructiveuncoupling.com. Or you can reach me through my website, divorceresourceinc.com. divorceresourceinc.com. Please share this podcast with anybody and subscribe. If you hit the subscribe button, then you will get every podcast as we upload. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for joining me, and I'll talk to you next week.